Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
It's time for quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. And from collegiate to professional sports, the sports calendar is in full swing, and no better place to get in on all of this action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. To celebrate this year's football playoffs, DraftKings is giving all new players the chance to bet on any of this weekend's pro football games at 100-1 odds. That's right. All you have to do is bet $1 on any football game this weekend, and if your team wins, you cash $100. Can't get any better than that. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code KSN when you sign up to get 100-1 odds on any football game this weekend. That's code KSN for new players for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Pennsylvania only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Quarter number four, the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with Greg Pickle, beat writer for Penn Live on the Penn State football beat. And Greg, last week we did a review of all of the new coaches on James Franklin's staff. This week, why don't we go right to the top and James Franklin and evaluate the job that he did. You got to start with two things. First of all, this team, first time in a long time, was under 500. They were 4-5. And it was a crazy year, though, along with that losing season. You got to also say that James Franklin had to manage the COVID situation. So how do you evaluate him?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the thing that when we look back on all of this stuff, Jim, from 2020 and how it impacts Penn State in 2021 and beyond, it's going to be really fascinating, like what, maybe 5 years from now, to look at it and say, did we really put the right context around all of this? Did we really understand how much of an impact that whole pandemic thing had on James Franklin, Penn State football, Kirk Ciarrocca, the coaches, the players, etc.? I mean, it's not something we're going to be able to know for some time. So I guess the first place I'll take this conversation, and I'm not sure if exactly where you were planning to go with it, but, you know, I think back to when James Franklin first talked to us after spring practice was canceled, and you got the sense, Jim, that they were doing things, and he has kind of hinted at this, throughout the last, 4 months, but you got the sense that they were doing above and beyond what a lot of other programs were doing. And I think that was the right thing to do. At the end of the day, player health and safety is ultimately going to be the thing that you hang your hat on to it now that this season has come to an end in Alabama, Ohio State and all that. But there's no question that, you know, it had to have played a role in not just Kirk Ciarrocca getting to meet his players and install his offense and make everybody comfortable and all of that, but for Phil Troutwine, same thing. Taylor Stubblefield, same thing. John Scott Jr., same thing. And I just don't know. It's going to take at least a couple of years to really, I think, have a sense for how all this stuff really impacted these guys. But since we don't have a couple of years until this segment ends, we only have, so we have a lot more time left to talk about this. But my point is that I'll take a guess here and say that we're probably pretty clear about the fact that there's no way to describe how much of an impact this whole thing has had on everyone within the program, Jim, and all of the sacrifices and being away from their families and things like that. And that's, I think, something that when we look back on it, though, we're going to say, wow, I don't even think we put it in the right perspective, because I just think it was such a strange year and such a strange situation for everyone to deal with. And you had guys going home for spring break back in March and thinking that, you know, it was about to be spring practice again and they were going to get to know the new offensive coordinator, this, that, and the other thing. And it just didn't work out that way. And, you know, Penn State, again, we talked too that, you know, whoever managed the offseason stuff the best was going to be the best team in the fall. Penn State was not that early. They were much better late in the year. But, you know, another thing that comes to mind, and maybe again getting a little bit off the topic of where we were going to go here, but you know, you made a good point off air, and it's that Sean Clifford's a guy that everyone was pretty high on this time last year, and now all of a sudden there are all these questions about can he run Kirk Soraka's offense? Should he be Penn State starters? And trust me, I get it. You know, Penn State obviously struggled a lot, and a lot of that blame was on his shoulders throughout the start of the season. It's why he was benched for a game. But, you know, I have a hard time, you know, being able to accept the fact that if Sean Clifford had had a chance to work with Kirk Soraka, that he wouldn't have been better early in 2020. So I think with Mike Yurcich now coming in and having the chance to work with him in person, presumably starting in the spring, that he will be better for Penn State in 2021. So all told, Joe, to kind of put a told Jim rather to try and put tight and put a nice little tight bow on this. I just think that Penn State did not, for whatever reason, you know, get off to a good start this year. And I think part of it was just the way that they handled the testing stuff. And you can't fault them for how they did it, because guess what, Jim? They had a lot of false positives. But if they had any positives, we never heard about them. You know, I'm sure that there had to be one or two at some point, you would assume, based on the math within the football program, but maybe not. And they never had an outbreak, and they never had to shut down and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, you can say anything you want about, you know, maybe they went too far with the COVID stuff, or maybe they went over above and beyond, and that can be good and that can be bad, but it worked out. They got through it. And, you know, when they evaluate 2020, again, I think that we'll look at it differently 2-3 years from now than we do right now. But in the interim, what I will say is that, you know, Kirk Soraka is a guy who I don't think you're going to find anyone who will say a bad thing about him, but James Franklin made that decision, and, you know, again, we have both speculated now that we thought maybe Mike Yurcich was his top target then, couldn't get him, he went to Texas, so I don't want to say Penn State settled for Kirk Soraka, but maybe they did a little bit, didn't get their first choice, so, you know, that had an impact on this season as well. So, all told, I guess that's a really long way of saying, you know, I guess it doesn't surprise me that Penn State struggled so much with being away from each other in the electronic communication and everything else, virtual, remote. And then once they got more back together, Jim, as a team, they really kind of took off.
All right. You know what we forgot, don't you, Greg?
Of course I do. And that's what I was rambling so long for, Jim, so we would have enough time to pick a winner. Do you like to do the honors?
Yes, our winner of the Ask Greg segment was Mike from Bradenton. Mike, I'll be getting in touch with you. You get the KSN polo shirt. A couple of thoughts on what you had to say, Greg. First of all, you're always right. It'll take a few years to totally digest the 2020 season. I think the fascinating thing is our vision, our view of 2020 will probably depend on how things go in 2021 and 22 Fair. And 23. If Penn State comes back to be a 10-win, 11-win team, we'll look at 2020 as this hiccup that had to do with COVID, and that was it. If they continue to struggle, we'll probably look at 2020 as the lead to the perhaps the demise of the James Franklin era at Penn State. But in looking at 2020 from today's point of view, a couple things that I think we have to talk about is before the season started, Micah Parsons was out, Journey Brown was out.
Yep.
One series into the first game, Noah Cain was out. Pat Freiermuth got hurt fairly early in the season, played through the injury, and then finally he was out. I believe those losses affected this team more than we all thought they would.
Yeah, I think that's maybe the one area, Jim, where we did not give I hate to say this, but I don't know if we necessarily factored in at times, especially during the losing streak, the fact that Penn State was basically without 1.5 All-Americans, because you're right. Pat Freiermuth got hurt pretty early. Micah Parsons opted out long before the season even started. So that was a problem. You lose Journey Brown. You lose Noah Cain. Now your offense is functioning with a quarterback with a turnover problem. And running backs you did not expect to have to play much, if at all, now turned into starters. You know, we probably didn't appreciate the fact enough that Penn State lost KJ Hamler, and that it was going to take time for Jahan Dotson and Parker Washington to step into that role. I think we overestimated the offensive line, and they were better down the stretch. I don't think there's any argument to be made there, but they were not this mauling unit we thought they were going to be early on. And part of that's because of the way things went in 2020. So, you know, but the defensive line, I don't think created as much disruption as we thought. The linebackers, man, they were just not, for too many parts of the season, just not any good. I don't know how else to say it or how more politely to say it. They just weren't good. They couldn't tackle. They were out of place. Brandon Smith, I thought, really came into his own down the stretch and became that kind of an eraser that Micah Parsons could have been, but he's still a long way from reaching that level, if he ever will. So, you know, and then the pass defense, we had heard it was fixed. And part of this is due to the fact that, you know, at one point, I think James Franklin said, Jim, that they were playing with 2.5 corners. So, you know, they had injuries and were very light there as well. So when you put it all together, you know, a lot of, when teams are not, you know, particularly good or not how we think they could be, you know, a lot, that's because the realities don't match the expectations at the start of the season. But, you know, the realities were not, were based on the, you know, the realities were based on the fact that we expected Penn State's cornerback room to be very deep, and it turned out to be very thin. You know, we thought at one point they'd have Micah Parsons in, and they did not, and they were not really able to ever figure out that linebacker rotation. You know, we thought with Shaka Toney and Jason Alway, this defensive line would produce more disruption, and they did have a lot of sacks. They did have a lot of sack attempts, and they were, you know, there were times that I made the argument that I thought they were better on the field than they were on paper. So, you know, the things didn't always translate to the stat sheet, but, you know, that wasn't as good as we thought it was going to be for whatever reason. And then on offense, yeah, we didn't foresee Sean Clifford, be bit by the turnover bug and struggle the way he did for the start of the year. And then I don't think we could foresee either the obvious, really unfortunate situation with Journey Brown, the heart condition that ended his career, and then Noah Kane getting hurt in week one as well. So, yeah, I think it's a good learning tool for when we're trying to project the future this year and keeping in mind that things don't always appear to be what they look like on paper once the games start being played. But yeah, certainly a year that was kind of turned on its head pretty early on.
Okay, in the last minute that we have, Greg, this team always seemed to start very slow. How much of that can you place at the feet of the head coach and finally give James Franklin a grade for the season?
Yeah, I'm going to give him a B because this team, and maybe C minus is right, but again, they avoided the COVID outbreaks that a lot of teams fell victim to. So I think you got to give the credit for that big time, and maybe more than anything else. But yeah, Jim, 2021 is a big year for James. There's no question. I mean, obviously his contract extends pretty far out, but, you know, slow starts, not great pass defense, and an inability to always protect the quarterback and rush the other teams is something that's been a problem for a few years now. So I think we're all expecting to see improvement. I don't want to say we must see improvement, but I feel like we need to see steps in the right direction, and especially with his game time management stuff as well.
All right. Thank you so much, Greg. That is it for this edition of the show. Thank you all for tuning in, and make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is giving all new players the chance to bet on any of this weekend's professional football games at 100-1 odds. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using code KSN for new players to get a shot at $100 on any football action this weekend. That's code KSN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, restrictions apply, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.